N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play the roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. I'm taking off like a rocket here and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up, we gon' always win. Promise that that's not a promise, yeah, that is a threat. You know that I promise to bring the team commas.
Welcome back. This is episode 446 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
What's up is that it's a quiet Thursday night here. We're preempted on NYY Underground this week as Pete's traveling, so you'll have to catch us exclusively on your favorite podcast platform. And as you're doing so, please subscribe to NYYST and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. And if you have the extra time on hand, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to NYY Underground as well. We'd appreciate it very much. Still not a lot happening in the Yankees world this past week, but we've heard from Aaron Boone and Hal Steinbrenner this week, and there's not exactly a lot to be happy about if you're going to digest some of these comments that the two of them made on their respective appearances this week. Nothing too newsworthy from Boone. We'll start with Boone first. It's the lesser of the two evils at this point, I guess. Nothing too newsworthy coming from Aaron Boone other than that he revealed it's going to be Jason Dominguez in left and Cody Bellinger in center. I thought maybe the Yankees would have went with Dominguez in center to have him feel more comfortable, but Cody is going to play center field, and Dominguez is going to play in left field. And you just got to get him out there day one of spring training and get him acclimated to playing left field.
Yeah, he said that Jazz is going to play second base too, I think. I don't know, the old book as of right now. So the big elephant in the room, DJ LeMay, who's going to get his shot. And I think that's no one really wants to hear that.
Well, that's the other thing that he said that aggravated a lot of the fans is that the Yankees are going to want to play Jazz at second base. I think we all knew that for a while now. They prefer Jazz to play second base. And then he said that DJ, Cabrera, and Peraza were going to be basically in a competition to play third base come in spring training. Talked about this ad nauseum on this show. The New York Yankees cannot trot out DJ LeMahieu at third base on opening day. It's a slap in the face to the fans that are going to be there. It's going to be a slap into the face of the fans that are taking off of work. Even if you're not going to the game, just to be home to watch opening day, it's a slap in the face of the fans that invested all their time and money into supporting this team through their World Series run last year. It's a slap in the face to this fan base that you're going to sit there and trot out a guy with an OPS plus of 51 last year that everybody knows is washed and can't stay healthy. And that's going to be your answer at third base. That's a slap in the face to the fan base. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel about it. It's insulting. It's an absolute joke that they would even mention him. I know that they have to, but at some point you'd want them to not even entertain it, not even throw that out there to make it even a possibility. Even if you say something like, we have guys on the roster, we'll work with what we have right now, blah, blah, blah. That's less painful than actually hearing the Yankees discussing DJ LeMahieu playing third base for this team next year.
Way to get me excited. I just put in my vacation day for opening day. Maybe I should switch it to a bereavement day. Fuck.
You're going to feel sad watching him play baseball.
I am. I'm going to sit there, drive all those hours, get over the GWB, sit in traffic on the way home, sit at the game, freeze my ass off to watch DJ LeMahieu walk out to third base. It is not going to be a fun day.
Well, he's going to need his walker to get out there because I'm sure he'll break something in spring training. You know what? Honestly, I don't even know why I'm wasting my time discussing this or wasting any of you guys' time listening to this, because he's not going to make it through spring training healthy. I don't see it happening.
His toe is going to hurt.
You know, there was a report out earlier this week that I had heard about a long time ago. Actually, on the day it happened, I had heard this. I didn't know how
DFA him.
They wanted to DFA him, and Judge and Rizzo, amongst others, kind of put a stop to it. And the Yankees, you know, made up this hip, I think, what was it, a hip impingement?
Yeah. And then sat him for the rest of the season.
Go ahead.
Negative win player last year, right?
What happened?
He's a negative win player last year.
Was he a negative war player? I didn't check his war. I would assume
negative
that he was.
1.6.
So he actually almost, him playing cost the Yankees two games, basically. That's what that boils down to in layman's, and to simplify it to the simplest percentage, DJ LeMahieu playing last year cost the Yankees two games.
Yeah, negative 1.6, 201 at-bats, 41 hits, two home runs, and his batting average was 0.204.
He's terrible.
That sucks. It's like, ew. That's ews.
It sucks. So, you know, I was a big DJ fan. I wanted the Yankees to re-sign him, and it's just, it's crashed and burned.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how true this is. I heard it back when it happened, and then it resurfaced again this week. You know what? Sometimes you need a little tough love here, man, or be a little, or more so, you need to be a little bit ruthless. Yankees are trying to win a World Series. Yeah, DJ LeMahieu is going to get that money, whether he's on the Yankees or he's not. I really hope that Aaron Judge didn't stop that from happening, because it's hindering the team right now.
Yeah, then he says Cabrera had a 1.3 war at least, and a batting average of 247.
The problem with Oswaldo Cabrera is he's not an everyday player. We've seen him exposed time after time when he's gotten to when he has to play every day. He's good in short spurts. I've never come on the show and disrespected Oswaldo Cabrera as a baseball player. Every championship caliber team needs a guy like that, that you can plug and play for a week, 2 weeks. You know, a guy goes on the IL, you need somebody in there for 10 days, boom, play Oswaldo Cabrera. He's very versatile. He could play left. He could play pretty much anywhere in the infield. I have no problem with him being on the team. But handing him a starting position is lunacy. This is how bad the left field position was for the Yankees in 2023. He came out amongst all the other candidates. And guess what he did? He posted an OPS plus of 58 as a starting player in 2023. And it wasn't much better last year. It was in the 80s. It's still 20% lower than league average. Now, are you banking on he's going to take a jump to be a league average player this year? I haven't seen it. But, again, you know, people argue with me on social media that, like, oh, I want Oswaldo starting over DJ. Yeah, well, no shit. That's given the two choices, obviously. But it's not great shakes either way. It's not either one of those guys that I want to see playing on opening day.
And people are arguing with you just because he's become like a fan favorite. That's all that is. It's the same people that argue about that, or the people that argue that they want Rizzo to come back.
You keep saying that. I have yet to see anybody actually.
Just go. You see it. People are like, oh, Rizzo, bring him back. It still can happen. I mean, up until friggin' Torres signed with Detroit, people are saying the same things. I mean, I'm not arguing with people online, but you just go and you, I go online and I click comments. I just see what people are saying, and people are at it. It's just, I'll start sending them to you. People are unhinged. They're not.
At least Gleyber Torres to me made sense on a 1 year deal for this team. It did. To keep him at second base, you know, he's fairly productive, right? Anthony Rizzo's washed. He's cooked.
He's done. Tatis Jr. took him out.
Fernando Tatis's hip, ass cheek, whatever, ended Anthony Rizzo's career. And the fact that the Yankees misdiagnosed the concussion certainly didn't help. But that was the downfall of Anthony Rizzo. Yeah. You know, I like Anthony Rizzo. you know, but it's you honestly need to have your brain examined if you wanted Anthony Rizzo back. There's just nothing left. We watched him play last year. I respect the guy for trying to get through the postseason with the broken fingers. That couldn't have been fun, but there's nothing there. Just like there's nothing there with DJ LeMahieu, and the Yankees have him under contract through the 2026 season. There's going to be a point during this season that they're going to have to just say enough is enough. But the problem with that is that you need to see him play X number of games, get X number of at-bats for the Yankees to come to that conclusion. And I don't want him to get to that conclusion. I don't want to have to sit through 200 DJ LeMahieu at-bats just to get to the point where the Yankees now realize, okay, we have to DFA him.
No, if they're going to send him out there, he has to be on a short leash. Like, super short leash. Goodbye.
Like third inning, grounds into a double play, you're done.
Yeah, no, it's... Like you said, I don't think he'll make it out of spring training. If he does, I'll be amazed. But, I mean... Like I said, you hope he's on a short leash. We hope that we're not going to watch the same thing over and over again, march him out there, make us watch this. It's frustrating, and no one wants to deal with that.
The Yankees have done such a good job this offseason. Again, this was the wrong offseason to lose a superstar because there's just nobody out there realistically to replace that. And I think they've done a good job in pivoting in different directions. You can't improve the offense. All right, well, get the best starting rotation in the American League. Boom, done. Can't improve the offense to replace what you lost there. Okay, go get the best closer in baseball. You know, he was ranked number one by MLB, MLB Network. And then you have a setup guy who was your closer, who was nails in the postseason for you. So go get the best back end of the bullpen. You know, so that's a good pivot. And then I've been on record numerous times saying I believe in Cody Bellinger. I think he's going to have a monster year for the Yankees. The jury's still out on Paul Goldschmidt. I'm not as optimistic about that. But, you know, you kind of round that in here to a larger point is why is it Paul Goldschmidt and not Christian Walker? Why is it Paul Goldschmidt and not the Yankees trying to get creative with Pete Alonso? There's a lot of reasons why. Number one, obviously, is money. And number two is both of those players have the qualifying offer attached to them. And Hal Steinbrenner spoke on the Yankee Hot Stove, I believe it was Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday. I forget what day it was. I sat down and watched the whole thing right before we recorded. I really don't have an issue with anything Hal said, except for the fact that he goes and says, us owners can't spend like the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think that's more of him posturing, getting ready for the contract negotiations coming up more than anything.
My problem with him saying that is that we all know that the Yankees will not go broke if they wanted to now add a lefty reliever and an infielder. If they added another $10 million to this payroll, we all know they're not going to go broke.
That's last I saw, we were like 23 million under the luxury tax.
Everything I see is different, so I don't know. All I know is that they're not doing shit until they get Marcus Stroman out of here. That seems to be the big holdup right now. They don't want to add payroll until they trade Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, and now he's not following the Yankees on Instagram or some stuff. Cool, goodbye. I don't know. It's hard to trade somebody when they're not that great of a pitcher, and then they act like a fucking asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like, who wants to bring him to their team? They want to. Stuttering, forgive me. They want to get rid of him. They want to shed the salary. Okay, they're going to eat some of it. How much are they going to eat? What are they willing to keep on, send off? But then when he looks like he's yelling at a struggling player on your team, is that a great add to your clubhouse? Does that have something to do with it? I mean, it can't all just be money. There's somebody got to be desperate enough to get him, but then there's still free agents out there, people on the, you know, on the trade market that they could acquire that are leaps and bounds better than him. So
Well, that's the problem that the Yankees are facing right now, is that there's better pitchers on the open market still available. Like Jack Flaherty's still out there. Max Scherzer signed today, and I was talking to somebody today. I'd rather take a run at, if I was a team looking for a pitcher on a 1 year deal, I'd rather take a run at what Max Scherzer's got left in the tank than trading for Marcus Stroman. Or, sign Jack Flaherty, or I think Lance Lynn's still out there. These are all more attractive options. And now you're hearing that Michael King might be available for trade. I don't know. Would you rather trade assets than pick up Marcus Stroman's contract?
Yeah.
So these are things that are hampering the Yankees. And that 2026 option is also really hampering the Yankees because somebody might say, okay, I'll take him at $10 million for 1 year, but I need him to pitch 150 innings, and then now you're stuck with him for 2026. Now you're going to put yourself in a position the Yankees are in right now, where you need to, where you don't want him, and you got to have to trade him and hope that somebody is going to help you out financially next year, and he's going to be a year older with more diminished stuff than he already has. So, look, the Yankees pivoted when they lost out on Yamamoto last year. This was the backup plan, and it's really killing them right now.
Yeah, just no, it doesn't feel good to be handcuffed because of one player like that. I mean, Hal said that they're not done. You hope that it's true. You hope that they'll still do something anyway with him there. I think we're all still waiting for Hill to get signed. I'm hoping that that was what he was alluding to when he said that. He said they're going to go up until spring training pitchers and catchers report and beyond. So, I mean, I'm down to sit here and wait, but it's getting frustrating. It's more frustrating, more so too, because nothing's going on. Where I feel like we're in baseball purgatory here. It's just.
Well, there's a couple. It's been a little bit busy this week. Like Scherzer signed, Carlos Estevez went somewhere. I forget where the hell did he sign? The Royals. That was a nice pickup for the Royals there to strengthen their bullpen. Tommy Kahnle, former Yankee, now with the Detroit Tigers. This is what sometimes annoys me about social media, is that fans are crying. Oh, we should have, we missed Tommy. We should have re-signed Tommy. Okay, but the Yankees are so right-handed heavy in that bullpen. They don't want to sign Tim Hill for what, $1 million, $2 million, and then you really think they're going to turn around and give Tommy Kahnle $8 million? I mean, it's no dis again, it's like no disrespect to Tommy Kahnle. He did a really good job here, but it's not really a loss to the 2025 team that he's not coming back next year. And I think we all sort of assumed it too, that he wasn't going to be back.
Yeah, but he's injury prone too. I mean, I think he pitched like 90 something games over the past 2 seasons. I mean, I get he's a reliever. He's not gonna be in there all the time, but he have t but it was he had surgery this
He had
past year.
Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. I mean, it's just we don't need more of that shit. We already got Loazica back, which I did see a report, and I was that hopefully that he should be he should be ready for opening day. I mean, Yankees take it slow. He might not be, but I think he's 10 months removed after his surgery.
No, I don't know. I guess Hal was just saying that he might be like tip top in June, because that's the timetable he threw out. But maybe he'll be ready on opening day. He just won't be 100%. I don't know. That was a risky signing to me. I don't know why you want it. This obviously the stuff is there. If he's healthy, he's nasty. But he's never healthy. That's the problem with him. Is that the best ability is availability, and he's never available.
No, I mean I like watching him, but again, like it kind of makes you cringe when you see it because now what happens if he gets hurt again? You're handcuffed by Stroman, then you're gonna be handcuffed by another, because that turns into a bad contract. It's been a bad contract. He's been hurt too much.
Yeah, and then to bring him back was just silly. I
It
mean,
was
if,
on. It was unexpected. When I saw that, I was like, huh? Like
yeah, I mean,
it's.
out of all the things that they're waiting to do, that they went and did that so early in the offseason.
Like they were chomping at the bit to do it. I thought it was clickbait, and I was like, oh, okay. Like I'm like, let me. Is this like one of those, fake? And I was like, this is real. And I remember texting you, and I was like, Why that was the first order of business, I have no idea.
Well, I think they re-signed them before they got a friggin' first baseman.
I believe they did. I think he was very early on, if not the first move that
they even complete the Cody Bellinger trade by the time when they re-signed him.
I'm almost positive he was
first. I think Max Fried was definitely first, because they did that right after they lost 22 out there. So I don't. That might have been the next thing that they did. Was Max Fried and then Jonathan Loaisiga. It was just, I didn't understand that. The market was so hot for Jonathan Loaisiga that they went and did that so early in the offseason. I don't know. Obviously, hoping it works out here, that he's going to come back and be healthy. And, you know, if he's healthy, you look at that back end of that bullpen with Loaisiga, Weaver, and Williams. It's disgusting.
They signed him on the 21st of December. So that was our Christmas present.
Yay, thank you so much for that. But I really want to dive into this whole we can't spend like the Dodgers thing that Hal said. And it's, look, man, we sat here and we defended Hal Steinbrenner last week. And there's been times he's went out and spoke to the media and it's gotten you excited. You know, the whole Yankee for life thing over the summer. I can do whatever I want to do. And then he comes out and says this shit. And then while it's very clear the Yankees are waiting to trade Marcus Stroman before adding any more payroll, I don't understand why you can't complete the team and then worry about trading Marcus Stroman later. It's just the Yankees doing things ass backwards, or as we coined the term here on this podcast a long time ago, smart or Yankees. Again, instead of being smart and completing the team and then trading Marcus Stroman, they're doing the Yankee thing and waiting to trade Marcus Stroman, to the point where now maybe you have even less options available to you. You know, the problem with Hal saying that is that the fans like myself who defended him are made to look like schmucks, because we always say Hal's not cheap, and I don't think that he is, but then he says we can't afford to spend. Hal, if you went $10 million over the luxury tax, what's going to happen? What's really truly going to happen to you? Are you going to be standing on 1-9 with a beggar's cup? I mean, really, tell me what's going to happen if the Yankees can't trade Marcus Stroman, but they bring back Tim Hill in a third baseman and add $10 million, $12 million to his payroll. Tell me what is really truly going to happen to this organization right now.
I mean, listen, the argument is that they're making a shitload of money, probably. Listen, Dodgers probably making money hand over fist selling Ohtani jerseys. But I argue that the Yankees are making money hand over fist.
The Yankees had the highest revenue in baseball last year.
Selling Judge jerseys, and last year selling 22 made them a shitload of money. You know, like they're not hurting for money. This isn't the COVID year, which I still don't see how they lost money, because they were freaking how much they charge for commercials. And how many?
Yeah, I can see. I honestly, dude, that's a large portion of the money that they make. They had nobody in the building all year.
I guess when you're charging $12 for a hot dog, you make a lot of money.
Think about it. They get 3 million people in Yankee Stadium a year, and how much is an average ticket?
Yeah, but they don't have to pay half the staff that it wasn't coming in.
Please. It's like nothing. It's like going to McDonald's and getting a Big Mac compared to the money that they're paying.
If they're not hurting for money either which way.
But also fans, you know, that's another thing. Fans are always like, look at the revenue. Well, tell me what the profit is. That's what I really want to know. What's the profit?
Well, last year they jacked up prices 10%, right? That was what it was. It was 10%. Did they bump what their salary was by 10%? Like, you know, all things equal. Like, I give you more, you give me more. That's what we do, our transaction. You're happy at the end of the day. I'm happy at the end of the day. You don't want to hear things like what he's saying. Now, I could understand. I could make a million excuses for him. Like I said, I think it's more posturing. They're going to be going into a collective bargaining agreement. And I was the union rep. I was the union president. So I would say things like, drop them out there, because I want people to know my position prior to going into negotiations. So I'm thinking more of along the lines of maybe that's what it is. But then if he doesn't go out and spend, it's hard. I want to defend him. I don't want to shit all over him. It's not my money. It's always easier for some one of us to side seat drive Monday morning quarterback him. But, like, just give me the fucking results, and I'll be happy, and I'll shut up.
But in a way, it is, this is always the argument. In a way, it is our money, because the team is funded. A big majority of how the team is funded is you going into the stadium, you buying a hot dog, you buying a souvenir, you know, doing, you know, buying beer.
No, it's 100% funded by us. The commercials are paid for by companies that want to sit there and sell to us. We pay the cable company. I have to buy the Gotham app this year or wherever the hell I want to. Then, you know, they get their cut. It's us. We go to the stadium. Without us, they're shit. It is our money. We spend money some way, somehow. That's how they get paid. It all involves us, the consumer. And when you're a consumer, you don't want to hear excuses. I get it. Listen, I go and I buy a steak. I don't want you to say, oh, well, it was a little bit, you know, tough today because, you know, it's hard for us, you know, restaurants to keep up with the Michelin star or something like that. Like, no, pal, I want what I paid for. Same way that they pay Judge, they don't want to see Judge go out there and shit the bed. Hey, we're giving you this big contract. Well, hey, I just gave you how many thousands of dollars for my ticket package this year? Put up or shut up. So if he's going to take that stance, fine. That's cool with me. But I want to see the results. That's how.
Well, the results are is that this team fell short again last year. And in a year where they shouldn't be taking a step back, it feels like they're hamstringing themselves again because of money. And I honestly always try to see both sides of the argument here. At one point, as a fan that we just made our first World Series in 15 years and got embarrassed by the Dodgers in it, I don't want to hear any bullshit about we can't spend like the Dodgers, we can't do this, we can't do that. Well, you can do a lot of different things. You definitely can add more payroll here without killing yourselves. That's 100% a fact, okay? But also, on the other hand, we talked about this. He doesn't want to just hand out free money to teams that aren't going to spend it on their team. And again, you know, people keep, you know, Jeff Passan, who, you know, I do respect him. He does have a lot of integrity. He doesn't put shit out there just to put it out there. The only time you hear him announce something is when he's got it 110% verified. So I do respect him in that regard. But he's going on podcasts, killing the Yankees for not spending, killing the Yankees for not getting Alex Bregman. But nobody brings this up. Is Alex Bregman is a qualified free agent, meaning the Yankees have to lose another two draft picks if they sign him. Why is Christian Walker not a Yankee? Probably more so than the money. I think he got 20 a year, and they're only paying Goldschmidt 12 and a half, is the fact that he's a qualified free agent, and you're losing another two draft picks. Fans don't want to hear about draft picks, but as teams look at these things, hey, we already signed Max Fried. We felt he was worth the two draft picks. Is Alex Bregman worth the two draft picks, or are you looking at things in totality here and saying, now we're losing four draft picks? We don't have a draft in next year. Nobody wants to hear that because they're all about now, now, now. I want to win now. But the organization doesn't look at it like that. Brian Cashman doesn't look at it like that. How are they going to replenish the farm system? How are they going to build for the future? How are they going to have prospects to trade for the next, you know, superstar that becomes available if they should need somebody, if they're signing qualified free agents? Is Christian Walker really worth two draft picks when he already gave up two for Max Fried? I can't say that he is. The problem here, and you're talking about, you know, negotiating and the CBA is coming up, they have to stop penalizing teams that want to spend money. It's fucking ridiculous. It's an absolute joke that if you want to improve your ball club, you get penalized for it. Oh, we're going to draw an imaginary line in the sand here. You can spend more than that, but we're going to take money from you and give it to other teams. Okay, what are they going to do with it? Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll go to dinner. You know, maybe this guy will fuel his jet with it. They certainly won't spend it on players, which is the whole spirit of it. You know, like they do in the NFL, you lose a free agent, you get a compensatory pick. You don't get it from the team. I mean, the team How do I want to say this? If you lose a free agent, you get a compensatory pick, right? That's why. Shit, I had this on the. I fucking hate when this happens, when I lose my train of thought. Right? You want to benefit. Go ahead.
No, I say I lose my train of thought all the time. It must be in our DNA.
So if you lose a free agent, you want to give that team a draft pick. You know, like the NFL does at the end of the third round, the end of the fourth round, fine. You don't start pulling draft picks away from the team that signed somebody.
No, that's stupid. And I'm like, I never really like cared enough to look at how the luxury tax is distributed. I just looked it up. All right. So the luxury tax, the first $3.5 million is used to fund player benefits. So I guess their health care and all that shit. Mm-hmm. I'm sure other things is encompassed on their benefits. So then after that, half of the money is used for the retirement accounts or for their pensions. And then all the other half of it goes to all the other teams that didn't break the luxury tax. So if you spend, so how much, if the Dodgers break $400 million, let's say they hit $400 million and they're $99 million over, let's say, right? So you're going to say over $40 million of that their money, of the Dodgers' money, is going to be distributed between all the teams that didn't. It's a reliever. You know what I'm saying? It's like they could get a 1-year deal out of it. They're funding other teams. I see why Hal doesn't want to do it. You want to be fiscally responsible, but as a consumer, it's hard to hear. It's not fair that if a team has the money and actually does the right thing and goes out and spends the money, they then in turn lose draft picks. Then how are they supposed to then build a team where they don't have to go and spend money? It just becomes, it doesn't pay to be a big market team.
Well, that's an excellent point there. You want teams to build through the draft, right? Well, you know what? I can't do that because I signed Max Fried. Now I lost my second and fifth round picks or whatever. I think it's second and fifth. I think that's what they lost for that. Okay. You know, a guy like
Players Association would get rid of that. Like, you think that they would fight tooth and nail to get rid of that, because that probably listen, it doesn't affect Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge gets the money Aaron Judge gets. But there's other guys out there that aren't going to get paid because of reasons like that. They're like, oh, well, we're not going to, you know, give up our two draft picks and we're going to pay you this much money. Where if they didn't have to give up two draft picks, those players might get an extra $2, $3 million.
You know, Christian Walker could very well be a Yankee if he didn't have the qualifying offer attached to him. You don't know that. The Yankees were really hot for him, and then they cooled down on him. And it was probably because they were hot for him, thinking they were going to get 22 to re-sign, and said, okay, well, we're re-signing our own guy. We're not going to give up draft picks there. And then we can, you know, maybe afford to lose him for a first baseman that we really want. But then they pivoted to Max Fried, gave him up, and then all of a sudden things really cooled off between the two sides. And I mean, draw the line there, connect the dots. Then he goes to your rival. He goes to the team that you might be competing with for in the postseason or a wild card. Who knows? In the Houston Astros. I'm just sick and tired of the way that Major League Baseball is run, and everybody, oh, Hal is so cheap. You're not cheap with a $300 million payroll. I'm sorry. Within the parameters of the way Major League Baseball is set up, you're not cheap with a $300 million payroll. He's putting restrictions on himself to not pay tax. Do you like paying tax? And your paycheck is what, 22% light because it's taxed?
Mine's more than that.
Okay, whatever it is. Last time I figured it out, this was years ago, it was about 22% you lose to taxes. Do you like basic
tax, man?
Do you like, you work 5 days a week. Do you like basically working one day for free? Because that's what happens with tax, right? You're essentially working a day for free because that money that you made on that day is taxed. Now look at Hal Steinbrenner. What did I get by go? I signed this player. I went over to tax. I get this money. What did I get out of it?
Well, I'm sure that these players are all insured too against injury and all that. And the higher their salaries are and everything like that, the more money they have out, the more money they probably have to pay on that too. It all is just the actual salary of the players is just one piece of a gigantic puzzle. And it's when you sit there and try to wrap your mind about it, around it, there's probably 1.5 million things we'll never think about. But
The Major League Baseball taxing teams that want to spend is a joke. Major League Baseball stripping teams that want of draft picks that want to spend is a joke. I'm sorry, it's absolutely friggin' ridiculous that this is still happening in the year 2025. And I would hate to see a work stoppage. I guess it would be a lockout or work, whatever. I don't. But if that's what it takes to get that to go away, it might be a necessary evil.
just put it to luxury tax. If you don't want to spend a certain X amount of money, put
And
a
that's
salary
it.
cap.
Put a hard cap on
No,
it. That's it. 301's
that's
the
it.
number. You can't spend past 301. That's it. Boom. Done.
And then if these small market teams that pocket their money and don't want to spend anything, they're not going to get anything extra. And then if they don't want to spend, then it's on them.
What I would do is salary floor, whatever the number is, 120, 100, 110, 120, I think is a fair number because all these teams can afford it. I don't care what they say. Every team can afford $110 million payroll. If you can't, then you shouldn't be owning a baseball team.
No, and you owe that to your fans. That should be a bare minimum.
And get rid of the stupid ass luxury tax and the qualifying offers. Enough. En enough is enough now. How
No.
many of these guys actually take the freaking qualifying offer? Teams that know if the teams that offer it to the guys know they're not going to take it because they're going to get more money in an open market. And the guys that don't get it, like you would oh yeah, Yankees, Gleyber Torres. Why didn't they? Because they didn't want him back. They didn't want him to take it. It's pointless.
It's a very convoluted way of doing things.
You know, so going back to like, oh, Hal is cheap. Have we seen Hal Steinbrenner with no restrictions placed on him? Now, if you're telling me that other teams in Major League Baseball with no restrictions are spending 400, 500 million dollars on payroll and he's sitting there at 300, now we have a legitimate argument over him being cheap and not wanting to spend money. But we don't know what that's like because of these penalties that are put on the Yankees for going over. I would love to see Hal Steinbrenner in a scenario where there's no cap, where he's not being, where the Yankees aren't losing draft picks, where the Yankees aren't, being taxed for how do you call it, for going over this luxury tax. I would love to see what he does in that scenario because then you could fulfill a lot of narratives then. Are the Yankee, is he truly cheap? If now the Phillies are like, okay, we don't have a luxury tax, we're going to spend $500 million. Or Steve Cohen's like, oh, I'll spend 600 now, who cares? And he's sticking at 300. We don't know the answer to these questions. So, he does what he does within these rules that are placed. And you could say, he's treating this imaginary line as a hard salary cap, which he is doing. But also, it's not an imaginary line when you go over it and you're penalized for going over it.
Yeah, like if my brain's hurting right now, but it's okay. So if you spend, if again to the Dodgers, they're just close to numbers. So if they spend $100,000, right, they're going over to luxury kit. So then they get taxed at $100,000.
That again.
If the Dodgers spend $400,000, they're $100,000 over the luxury tax.
You
They
mean
get taxed
millions?
at $100,000, so their actual salary basically becomes $500,000. Am I thinking I'm correct?
You mean million?
Yeah, I'm sorry, a million.
Last year, the Yankees were at the highest threshold, right? So every dollar the Yankees last year would have spent over that
Oh, and every
threshold.
year it goes up. Yes, yeah, like my head's hurting me. Every year it goes up for every year you're over the lunch. It goes up. Yes.
So this is what it was last year. So in the Yankee scenario, for every dollar the Yankees would have spent over that threshold last year, they would have been taxed $1.10.
That's wild.
Yeah, exactly. This is my point.
Listen, I said it. Like, I if I want I just redid the fence around my house. If you told me that me putting the fence around my house because my neighbor's house looks like shit, I now got for every fence panel I put up, I had to give her half a fence panel, I would have said, I'll let my yard look like shit too and everyone could stare at it. I don't care. Nobody's going to go and do that. Hal Steinbrenner does not want to go and spend money to make it. His team's already good at where he's at. What is the incentive for him to now go above and beyond, spend all this money just to help out his neighbors with a shitty yard? And that's up to the players to figure out during negotiations. They should be wanting all that shit gone because they should want the low market teams that are not spending money to go and spend money. And they want people like Hal Steinbrenner to not be handcuffed by a luxury tax where he's helping out the competition.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing. It's actually called the competitive balance tax, right? So what is that supposed to do? It's supposed to keep teams like the Yankees from going bananas and having this massive payroll and cycling the money back down. But what happens is that the teams that don't spend, they're still not spending money.
Exactly. That is the problem. Where now the luxury tax would work if there was a minimum salary that these teams had to pay. That's probably one of the only, that's probably the simplest way to fix it. But the whole thing needs to be revamped. There's no way that any of this makes sense to be. Whoever came up with this
They did this to keep the Yankees from going, keeping George. They did this to keep George in check, and then they put that extra level in when Cohen got in.
All the owners got together one day and said, hey, let's do this to stop Steinbrenner or whatever, whatnot. And now it's blowing up in a lot of their faces. Because now they all look like cheap assholes. And you know, everybody's fan base. Listen, if anything good is coming out of the Dodgers spending all this money, it's just bringing every single baseball fan together. Because I think collectively, nobody likes the Dodgers anymore. And they are like...
You know, there's the consortium that owns the Dodgers is worth $330 billion.
Yes, why?
The guy that's managing the team, you know, the guy, the figurehead, the Hal Steinbrenner of it all, is worth $12 billion. Look at all these deferred contracts. They don't need to do this, right? But I've been telling this to people, you know, we'll look back on this in 10 years. When that money starts coming up, they're selling the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And somebody will buy it. Just like, who's going to, you know, we were talking about that last week or whatever it was, who's going to buy the Yankees? Well, you know, the Dodgers became for sale. Somebody will buy the Dodgers. Trust me. The money will show, the money will be there.
That's one of the richest parts of the country, correct? I'm sure there's some big baseball fan out there with the money to buy them.
You know, professional sports teams don't hit the open market very often. So, one like the Yankees or Dodgers being available, trust me, somebody will be there ready to buy it.
Yeah, it wouldn't sit on the market.
You know, look, I don't want to sit here and spend a second week on this show and defend Hal Steinbrenner. I think what we had to say about him last week was very fair. And after his comments, I really did want to come out here and, you know, it's just like, Hal, look, it was a 15-minute interview. I sat there and listened to the whole thing, and there's literally nothing that you can take from it and be mad about except for that one line. And it's like, how? You know, read the fucking room, bro.
Yeah, you just not said that, and that interview would have been fine. Just keep your mouth closed.
As the owner of the Yankees, like, coming out there and saying, the Dodgers aren't better than us. We beat ourselves. Yeah, you know what? Talk a little shit and put the onus on your team that you need to be better. I think we're a better team this year. You know, our defense, how many times in that interview did he mention that the defense is better this year? And they're not going to beat themselves this year. That's what I want to hear. Those are all things I want to hear. You said, you know, Meredith asked him, what do you think about Jason Dominguez? I think he's going to be my left fielder this year. Guess what? Now the kid's got a vote of confidence from the owner. All things I want to hear. What I don't want to hear is you telling me that you can't spend like the Dodgers. When all we're asking you to do is add simple little things. Get somebody to play fucking third base and sign Tim Hill. We're not asking you to go out there and hand out a $700 million contract. That time has passed. You signed your players that you were going to sign. We're asking you to do a couple little things. That's it. And now saying, oh, we can't spend like the Dodgers. Come on, bro. And then there's still fans out there that are going to defend every word that he says. I'm not going to do that because I think that was a stupid-ass thing that he said. It's ridiculous. You can't spend like the Dodgers. You can have a higher payroll than the Dodgers if you want to.
Well, in his defense, he didn't say he can't. He said it's hard to, right? You're going to get fact-checked by somebody. I just wanted to be there.
Hard to, can't. What the hell is the difference?
No, well, you're speaking about
all it is him saying that he's not going to do it, right? When we boil it down, whether I say can't or hard to, it's him not doing it, right?
Speaking of talking shit, how do you feel about Aaron Boone refusing to just call Joe Kelly a fucking bitch? When they were alluding to people running their mouths, we all know it was Joe Kelly. And the best Aaron Boone could do was, well, what did you do all season? He got a fucking ring. That's what he got. Like, whether he worked or he didn't work, he got it. What'd you get? Nothing. So, in that, I really wanted Aaron Boone to just call that guy an asshole.
Well, he's not.
Say, Joe Kelly, you're an asshole. I'm sure if we did that, we could have started a GoFundMe to pay for the fine that he would have got from the FCC or whoever is the overlord of that organization that takes care of radios.
Well, go ahead.
That guy's an asshole. That was the opportunity. That probably would have sparked such a fire in that freaking clubhouse. Everybody would have screamed for joy that Aaron Boone just had the opportunity on national radio to call Joe Kelly a douchebag, because that guy's a douchebag.
Well, the Yankee fans got themselves all triggered the other day because Ha-Seon Kim went to the Rays, 2 years, $29 million, even though he's not going to be ready for at least the first month of the season. And now it just came out that Jorge Polanco is going to the Mariners, another guy that Yankee fans had their eye on. So these infielders are now coming off the board. And who the hell knows? We might be left with what we talked about at the beginning of the show, because everybody is getting snagged up over here. It's frustrating. It's frustrating thinking about the things that the Yankees could have done, and they're letting the luxury tax or Marcus Stroman's contract get in the way of things getting done. Like, again, I said this on the show weeks ago when Ahmed Rosario got signed for $2 million. Again, I'm not making a big deal about Ahmed Rosario, but he's a very versatile player with speed, hits a little bit. $2 million bucks definitely would be an upgrade over what they have on the roster right now. We're not asking for the sun and the moon here, bro. We're just asking for you to not put fucking DJ LeMahieu on third base on opening day. I really don't think that's a lot to ask for.
Did you see, then? It, like I said, that we're in like baseball purgatory here, and I don't mean like in general, because clearly there's things happening. I mean more for the Yankees. It's tough to sit there and watch these teams signing, and we're kind of just sitting here spinning our wheels. And the most that's really happened is they signed a 16-year-old international player. Like, that's like the big news. They got.
Another thing, right? By signing these, you know, going over the luxury tax, I forget what, I think it is going over for the luxury tax at a certain point, is you lose international free agent money.
Yes.
So now, I mean, that's another avenue that the teams don't have access to that want to spend money, because you're taking that away from them. Anything that you could do to get better, if you do it, MLB will punish you for it. Tell me how any of that makes sense.
The only way you...
That 16-year-old, a lot of people have that kid ranked as the best international free agent signing of the offseason. Not Roki Suzuki, not included in that, but... And the Yankees, if the Yankees go over, they wouldn't have been able to sign him.
Yeah, and it's $2.5 million to a 16-year-old kid. I guess it's from different money, but now we're hung up on $1 million or $2 for Tim Hill.
I mean, it is different money for sure.
I know it's different money, but it's still, it's just.
But that pool the Yankees had to sign him gets smaller if they go over the luxury tax. Tell me how any of that makes sense.
It only makes sense if you have an owner that doesn't give a shit. If you have an owner that's going to go out and, like you said, and if you're right, the Dodgers plan on unloading, they just want to get as many rings as they can get and then unload it when the contracts come through, then that's why they're doing it. It's not that they don't care. It's just that they know what they want and they want to get it before they get out. If you have an owner that cares about the future of the team, that cares about his own pockets, you know, they're not going to do it. It's made to set up a big market like the Yankees for failure. And like you said, if the other teams just aren't going to spend, there's no point of having it there. The other teams aren't forced to use it for a signing. They're not. Where's the money go? They pocket the money, and that's it. In reality, they could say, hey, I'm paying this guy with the money, but then they're just not going to their own pockets to pay the guy.
Well, let's say the Rays got $5 million in luxury tax money, and their payroll doesn't go up by $5 million this year. So then, obviously, they didn't spend it on players. The whole point is to get them to increase their payroll.
They pocket it. That should be the caveat on top of that. We're giving you $5 million. Take the $5 million, but you need to either put it into your shitty-ass field or you need to put it into your salary. End of story.
Look, I know we've kind of been all over the place tonight, but I mean that's just kind of what the conversation is. You know, Hal Steinbrenner says what he says, and you're mad at Hal Steinbrenner for saying it because we all know that you can go out and do certain things like Jorge Polanco. Again, you're gonna make a big deal about him, but no, yeah, you are, because he could definitely improve this team by keeping DJ LeMahieu on the fucking bench for number one, right? He's a few years removed from his best year, and he had knee surgery last year, so there are question marks there, but I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans would have been happy with a signing like that over being regurgitated the friggin' options of Cabrera, Peraza, and LeMahieu, right? But also then you want to sit back and have a fair conversation about why he says shit like that. And it's because teams are being penalized for spending money. And it seems like only one team is saying, I don't care. Because they literally do not care. Because, you know, we can sit here and have a debate as should Hal sell a team. He's not selling the fucking team, okay? He's not selling the team. It's in his family. And, you know, I said this earlier to Pete. It was in our group chat. Is that, you know, he people say he doesn't have emotion. He's not. He does care about this team, right? He wants it to do well. He wants to win. Of course, he wants to fucking win. Anybody that says Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to win, you're stupid, okay? I don't really understand a better way to say that other than you're dumb, because even if it's to make money, he wants the team to win. If the team wins 50 games, who's fucking coming to watch it play? So obviously he wants the Yankees to win. But what this is to Hal Steinbrenner is a duty to his father. Right? That's all this is. It's a duty to his father. If he didn't feel, and partially also to his brother who passed away, Hank, RIP Hank, because we would have, I mean, how do I want to say this? Everybody's like, well, you know, George would have never let 22 go get away. Well, I'll tell you this, 100% certainty, is that if Hank was still here and running the team and hadn't been sent to play with the horses, because that's what happened after he re-signed Alex Rodriguez after nobody wanted him. Entering the 2025 season, and I'll put $5 in a swear jar as well, Juan Soto still would not be a New York Yankee. Why? Because he wouldn't have been a fucking bitch in 2018, and he would have signed Bryce Harper when Bryce Harper would have sold his grandmother on 42nd Street for a nickel to play for the New York Yankees, okay?
That's a nickel.
That's the difference between Hank and Hal. RIP Hank. And Hal is a businessman. He sees this as a business. He's trying to be fiscally responsible. The duty to his father and to his and probably also in part to his brother. He's not going to sell it. He's going to hold it to a certain standard. And it is what it is. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it at this point.
He's never going to sell it. they're big on all this is a family business and all that stuff. They're in it for the long haul, you know. And then what we're going to hope for? We're going to hope for one day Hal loses his mind, his drunk grandson takes over the business and starts spending money like it's his job, and we get like a crazy ass year like we're getting out of the Dodgers. Listen, we're all getting pissed off at the Dodgers, but it's all just jealousy. We just want to see it, and it's exacerbating everything that we feel and we see and we say because we're watching someone else do it, and we're just like, you know, if the Dodgers weren't doing it, we wouldn't be pissing and moaning this much.
No. Listen, it has nothing to do with the Dodgers, and somebody left a comment on one of my tweets here. So seeing Yankee fans upset at what the Dodgers are doing is just, it has nothing to do with what the Dodgers are doing. Hal Steinbrenner brought up the Dodgers. I'm not bringing up the Dodgers in the sense that I want the Yankees to be doing what the Dodgers are doing. And I don't think you need a $400 million payroll. I've been on record as saying numerous times, $300 million is more than enough to build a championship team. But you still have holes on this team. All I'm asking you to do is to make small increases to this payroll. Add another $12 or $13 million. That's it. It's not asking a lot.
And don't play DJ LeMahieu.
Add $13 million to this payroll. Get yourself a solid, dependable, everyday guy to play third base. I don't even need a – I'm not asking for – I've never come on here and begged for a superstar to come play third base. I've asked for an everyday, reliable starting player, a professional at-bat. That's what I want at third base. Somebody who can play the position, and then you can pencil in for 145, 150 games and not have to worry about him. Bats 260, 20 home runs, drives in 70 runs, OPS in the high 700s. OPS plus, you know, 105, 110. That's not a superstar. That's an everyday fucking player. That's what I'm asking for. And give Tim Hill $3 million and get it the fuck over with. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for Roki Suzuki and Yamamoto and Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman and Blake Snell and Fred Taylor. I'm not asking for any of that. So there's nothing to do with what the Dodgers are doing. I just want the Yankees to be the best possible version of themselves, and They're not doing it. And that's what pisses me off right now.
Wow. Tell me how you really feel.
You want me to? I will.
I feel everything you're saying. I personally really just feel that the Dodgers and everything they're doing is everybody's looking at that. And it's putting the spotlight on teams, owners like Cohen and Steinbrenner. That's why they're going to get asked the questions. It's the hot button. It's what gets the clicks. He was getting asked, whether he brought it up or he got asked it. It was coming out. It was going to be said. And everybody and their mother's feeling it because it's bringing it. It's taking it, the salary, and sticking it out there and saying, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this.
Look, the Mets, the Dodgers are doing what everybody feared the Mets were going to do.
Exactly. And
the Mets are being fiscally responsible as well. Steve Cohen doesn't want to go over 301. And it was reported, if he does, it's not by much.
Yeah, that guy's got more money than God. It's insane.
They're pitching staff. They're going a cheaper route with their pitching staff. Why? You got more money than anybody. Go get yourself an ace. Outspend the Yankees for Max Fried. Outspend the Dodgers for Blake Snell. Outspend, you know, Arizona for Corbin Burns. There was three of them right there. They didn't touch any of them. Said they're going to turn Clay Holmes into a fucking project. Even the Mets have their limits. This is all, you know, so it's really one team. And again, I'll say it again. I don't really care what the Dodgers are up to. We'll see. The Yankees are lucky enough to face off against them in the World Series again. Let's see what happens.
You'll care in October what they're doing.
As Hal said, you know, you still got to play the games. And if the Yankees clean up their mistakes, you know, that World Series looks a lot different. Maybe they still lose it, but it does look a lot different.
I mean, shit. I mean, Ohtani could come up to go. He's going to pitch this year, right? That's right.
That's the plan.
So he comes up, he pitches, he throws his arm out again. Then needs Tommy John to get, you know what I'm saying? That could derail their whole, you know, they have plenty of backup, but that's just like a nightmare scenario for them.
Yeah, well, the nightmare scenario is what happened to the Yankees in 2023 when they're, you know, the outfield wall. So I'm not going to put any.
Yeah, that really that pisses me off. Like, they spent all this money.
I'm not putting anything like that out in the universe because we've seen what that can do to the Yankees. Not that I thought that team was good enough to win a World Series, but we won 82 games that year. So,
yeah, it's wild.
Look, there's the two sides of Hal Steinbrenner. There's the big Stein balls that he puts out there when he says he can do whatever he wants and it gets you fired up. And then he turns around and it's like they're shriveled little raisins when he says, I can't do what the Dodgers are doing.
I mean, he's doing what he wants. He doesn't want to go over to luxury tax. He can't do what he wants.
When he said, I can do whatever I want, he wasn't fucking lying because he doesn't want to go over to luxury tax and they're not doing it. So
I wouldn't do it either. So that's why I can't blame him. Like I said, I'm more fiscally responsible. Those are things that are important to me. And that's where I would be if I owned a baseball team. I think I could really relate to it. But I do it on a small scale.
I don't know. It's getting late early right now for, you know, you've seen some of these guys starting to get picked off the board here. And again, as the last thing I'm going to say on the show is that you cannot. And somebody argued with me that I said the word ruined. And he's like, that's an overreaction. It's not an overreaction. You're ruining all the good work that you did in pivoting this offseason by sticking DJ LeMahieu at third base on opening day. You're ruining all of it.
That will really piss me off. You typically send me the lineup. You usually see it before me. You send it to me. If you send me the lineup on opening day while I'm driving there and I see DJ LeMahieu, I will legitimately be sad. I will look at my wife. I will say a few curse words, and I'll contemplate turning around.
I was going to say, you're going to turn around?
I won't, because I'm going to go, but that's going to suck. I don't want, that's not what I signed up, I paid money for. You know, when they were trying to sell me my ticket package, I laughed at them, because, we got Juan Soto. And I said, you don't have him next year, and the tickets guys, he laughed at me. And, you know, we've been saying that Cohen wasn't going to stop. Aaron Boone said the same thing in that. In his interview, he said it could have just kept going. Because that's ultimately what was going to happen there. That was going to be the way that Steve Cohen broke the fucking luxury tax. Because he would have went to $1 billion and more, not $1 billion, but, you know.
It was close enough. He gave him 800.
Well, I mean, I was saying a year, but yeah, he probably would have freaking given the guy the damn money. Because he basically did anyway.
And but again, that was... Again, but that was for one guy. They're still not over that number. And what if they had to go up even higher? He would have. We all know that. He wasn't going to stop. But that's the same thing. And this is the last point I'm going to make, right? Again, I try to see everything from all perspectives. And a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people just want you to be irrational and say, fuck you and whatever. But I like to see all angles to try to get an understanding of why things are happening, right? 22 was worth going over the luxury tax for. He absolutely was. So in Hal's mind, that's a player where if I'm paying a penalty on, that's worth it to me. You look at Tim Hill or, you know, just for argument's sake, because he just signed Polanco, right? You're going to pay a penalty on either of those guys? The Yankees don't really, they do, but they don't need either one of them to the point where you need to pay a penalty on their salaries in the way Hal Steinbrenner is looking at it. So what is really truly out there that's worth paying a penalty on? The one guy that you felt was worth it is gone. He didn't take your money, took somebody else's. So again, man, there's a lot of different avenues to look at. It's not fans. A lot of fans just want to look at things in black and white. It doesn't. The world is not like that. It's not a black and white conversation. I think we examined a lot of that today.
No, in reality, he was going to do what we wanted him to do. He would have went over the luxury tax, like you said, for 22. He would have gotten him, and that would have been what we wanted to do. But then if he didn't sign anybody else, then we would have been bitching that he didn't do enough. So really what we needed him to do was go over to luxury tax, and then we needed him to go out and really obliterate the luxury tax and add three more position players or something. You know what I'm saying?
But really, what would the Yankees have needed to do had they brought him back? You don't need Cody Bellinger.
They would have brought up Jason Dominguez.
Dominguez
still.
Can play.
Judge would have played center. You would have had him right field.
Back in right field.
You would need a third baseman.
You still need a first base. They still would have needed to get a first baseman. You know, at that point, you know, do they, again, that's what you look at. Do they look at Ben Rice and DJ LeMahieu and being that far over the tax now instead of bringing in Paul Goldschmidt? You can still easily, and I said this, you can still easily make the Devin Williams trade because the money with, you the traded Nestor Cortez. Yeah, that had no bearing on it. It's just that the one definite is that you're not getting Max Fried. Max Fried was the pivot. So,
and with Rodon, I don't know. I don't know what I like better. I don't know what I want better. I'm always preaching. I'm always bitching at you about pitching. You're always telling me that we're fine. But, you know, I always go to that. So, to me, I like Max Fried over 22. I want that. So, to me, it's been more appealing. That's why I haven't been so upset about it. I don't know. The proof's in the pudding. We're going to see when this season comes how it works out.
The Yankees' rotation was strong enough without Max Fried. They just added to his strength.
Yeah. I mean, but like when you got Rodon going out there and shitting all over himself, it's
well,
nice.
Yeah, it is that he would.
If Rodon pitched to what we would want him to be, then Max Fried wasn't needed. But with the way Rodon's been pitching, you know, Luis Hill, yeah, he won Rookie of the Year, but it's still like really uncharted waters. What's he going to be? And you want Clark Schmidt to get back to what he was before he got hurt. You know, there's a lot of what ifs there. You know, Gerrit Cole is the one constant, but he is getting older. At a certain point, he's going to start falling off.
The way I look at the team and what they needed more, they needed somebody, and they needed that guy in right field more. They needed Max Fried.
They needed his bat. I don't know.
So hopefully we did a good job of kind of dissecting this and, you know, giving Hal a little bit of grief, but also, you know, saying that, like we always say here, it's not one plus one doesn't always equal two. There's always something that diverts the answer a little bit. And it's frustrating that you would just want him to, like I said earlier, just read the room, bro. Just read the room. Just stop talking about what you can't do and show us what you can do. That's what we want as fans, right? At the end of the day, it all boils down to we don't give a fuck about what you can't do. Just show us what you can do.
Yeah. I mean, listen. He went out. We wanted Judge. He got us Judge. Look at Cohen. Cohen's sitting there saying that Pete Alonso's being a bigger pain in the ass than it was to get 22. You know, we didn't, you know, how much more upset would we have been had we ended up in that position? And Aaron Judge really went to the Giants.
Well, imagine, right? But that's the thing. That's, you know, you want to give Hal flowers for certain things, and that's definitely one of them that we talked about that last week where when Judge called him up, he could have said, I already offered you a contract. You didn't want it. Goodbye. Yeah. And he met Judge's number, so it is what it is at the end of the day, man. It's just that you don't want to hear about what he can't do. Just show us what you can do. And that's it. And if you don't have anything to excite us, don't talk at all. Just keep your mouth quiet. So
yeah, I don't even know why that interview took place.
I don't know. He always talks to her during spring training. So
yeah, well, put it off another 2 weeks. Something's happening. There's nothing going on. He's being scrutinized by everyone. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just poor timing, but I don't know.
Well, you know, you could have waited till they got there, and then they really didn't sign anybody, and then it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah.
One pitcher, is it next week or the week after pitcher?
No, the 11th.
That's not
Saturday's the first, though. They're reporting on the 11th.
So, not, yeah, midway to.
No, they're almost there. We're almost there, ladies and gentlemen. We are almost there. Today is January 30th. The Yankees will start trickling in with pitchers and catchers on February 11th. The winter is almost over. Thank Christ for that. So we'd also like to thank you for your continued support of the NYYSD podcast. And how you can support us is by heading on over to your favorite podcast platform where you're listening to us right now and leaving us a 5-star rating review and subscribing. And tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. I want to thank you for listening to episode 446. Sem, say goodbye.
Adios.